I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Perhaps only Gordon Hamilton knew that we were coming to Mount Nebo Missionary Baptist Church this morning. So, how's the Hammond organ over there, Brennan?
Great.
All right. Well, as you heard in a number of those hymns and those readings today, the world can be a tricky place indeed. The world wants you to believe that you are hard pressed upon and that you're gonna really suffer, and there's not a whole lot of ways out except to fill your barns with lots of worldly possessions, right? And I like to say, thank goodness I am a poor priest rather than somebody whose barns are filled with possessions. Now, about 6 years ago, I was having a conversation at Open Road Coffee Shop with Dick Calloway, all right? And we were talking about cars, and we were talking about life, and we were talking about all this stuff. And I said, you know, Dick, there is nothing more ridiculous than a 70-year-old man who's had hip surgery driving around in a brand new red Corvette. And he said, thank God I spoke to you now, Robert, because I was just about to buy a Corvette. And I thought, you know, that's pastoral care in the nick of time, right? So you know, we think about this. We think about all the ways that the world sticks to us, right? And both Paul in his reading and the reading from Luke talk about greed or possession sticking to us, right? And then we also hear about Paul talking about all the other ways that the world kind of sticks to us. And it's really easy to have the world stick to us. And quite frankly, much of the world is sticking to us, and we don't even know that it's sticking to us. In many ways, we think to ourselves, we wake up one day and we think to ourselves, how did this stuff get stuck to me, right? I mean, how is all of this stuff kind of glommed on to me, right? And Paul, in his reading from Colossians, does a couple of things to kind of help clarify what the mission of the individual Christians at Colossae are and what the mission of their church in toto is. And so, the first thing we have to remember, we got three things before we really get in this reading. The first is this. The letter to the Colossians, like most of Paul's letters, begins with an address, not only saying that he's Paul and he's writing this letter, but it then goes immediately to say, to the saints and to my brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. In other words, what he's saying is, before I do anything that might seem like critique, I want you to know that you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want you to know that I know that you are already on a sacred journey with one another in Christ. I want you to know that I know that you have a sacred calling that is greater than anything in the world. I want you to know that you are claimed by God and that you are in Christ. So whatever I say here, whatever might seem like correction or critique, I want you to know that I know who you really are. You are saints and brothers and sisters in Christ. The second thing is really important. He really says, look, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And we talked about that last Sunday, but I really want to stress, this is kind of the heart of what he is talking about in this reading. The first thing is that, yes, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, but that word icon is more than just image. It is an invitation to participate in the reality with which one images. So in other words, Christ Jesus as the icon of the invisible God, he is not only showing you who God is, but he's inviting you to participate in who God is. Participate with him in the glory of God. And this, the third thing that is really important for us to understand is this, is that we ourselves are being invited all the time to participate and live our lives in Jesus Christ. We are always being extended an invitation to, in some ways, put down the invitations that the world seduces us with and to take up the invitation that Jesus Christ has given to us. And so with that, he begins the reading today. And really says, look, I know that you all are striving to be who it is that Christ calls you. But I also know this. I also know that you all are struggling somewhat, struggling to truly come to terms with who you are in Jesus Christ. And he says, look, since you have been raised with Christ, keep your mind, your whole being, on the things that are above, right? I would say the above there is the metaphysical, not metaphorical, the metaphysical above. What it is to say is this, keep your mind where Jesus is, because Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. Keep yourself rooted in your behaviors and your mindset in a way that keeps you rooted with Christ. Now, he's going to go on and he's going to give a whole laundry list of things that he doesn't want you to do, right? But I want you to understand, Paul is not a moralist. He used to be an angry moralist who was searching after Christians to bring them back to the high priest in Jerusalem. However, what Paul is saying is this. Look, all of those things that you get seduced with in the world, he says, those are like glue, right? And those are the things that are preventing you from fully entering into who Jesus is, to participating in the life of Jesus. And he says this, it's not that God is counting up all your sins. In fact, what he would say is this, all of those sins are beneath God's dignity. There's no counting of those sins. It's just that those sins are preventing you from being who you're called to be. He says, when we enter into Jesus fully, what happens is all of those things drop away. And he says, they drop away, they fade away, and what we have is our life in Christ. And he says, guess what? You know what that life looks like because you have heard the stories of Jesus, because you have seen Jesus, because you have seen Jesus acted out by your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what Jesus looks like in the world because he is the image or icon of the invisible God. Then he goes on further and he says, look, your sacred journey in Christ is taking you straight into God. He says, I want you to be in Christ with God. I want you to be in Christ with God. And he says, why would you choose anything less than being in Christ and with God? And he says, all of those things in the world that you participated in before, you know those things are empty and vain. You know those things won't bring you life. You've participated in them, and you have already said no to them. You have said yes with Christ. You have, when you were baptized, you died with Christ in your baptism, and you came alive in Jesus' resurrection. Why would you choose that which you have already deemed empty and worthless? He says, look, you know that you have been called. And even though you have been called, you are hidden in Christ with God. What he really means is this. Look, the world doesn't understand who you are in Jesus Christ. The world can't really see who you are in Jesus Christ. The world thinks it already knows everything there is to know. But he says, you are hidden in Christ, which is to say, the world can't really get at you there because the world can't see you there. And he goes on to say, Not only is Jesus Christ being revealed in his connection to God, but when you are in God, in Christ, you are being revealed in Christ to God and in God's glory. The good news is that you don't have to worry about the craziness of the world. You've been given an invitation to participate in God through the icon of the invisible God, Jesus Christ. And he says, you already know because you're saints and you're brothers and sisters in Christ who you are and what your endpoint is. And he ends this reading by saying, there are no identities in the world, neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, whether you're a barbarian, right? I don't know. Who's a barbarian here, right? Okay. Jack, are you a barbarian? Possibly, yes. So we got a barbarian. And then he says also Scythians, right? All right, okay. So I don't know who a Scythian is. No, they're the horde from the steppe, right? So then he says, none of these identities that the world wants to put on you have any hold over you when you are in Christ Jesus, when you are in the glory of God. And not only that, he says, finally he says, and Christ is all and in all. What he says, what he means by that is this, when you're in Christ, there is nothing but that which brings life. There is nothing but that which is redemptive. There is nothing but that which is bringing you back to who you were created to be. And this is the radical notion. You're not losing your old self so much in Christ. Yes, that's dropping away. Yes, that's being stripped off. But what Paul is also saying is this, and it's really important. Your original identity is in the image and likeness of God, and what Jesus is doing is renewing the original image of who you are in Christ and in God. In other words, that renewal is not just making you something new. That renewal is restoring who we are originally in our creation before sin. He says, okay, we've been misfigured and disfigured a little. But we're being made new so that the original identity of who we were being created in the image and likeness of God might shine forth from us. And he says, when we're in Christ, all is Christ. But here's the thing. What he's going to say to those Colossians and to us here today is just as Jesus is the icon of the invisible God, you, my friends, are the icon of Jesus Christ. You are those who are making Christ visible to those people who are sitting around you and inviting people around you to participate in the mystery of Jesus Christ with you. In other words, and this is profound, you cannot fully be you without the person sitting next to you. I know that is scary and scandalous, Caraboto, that you cannot be who you are called to be without these two, all right? And this is the profundity, is that when you become who you were created to be, you become an icon, a window, inviting others to participate in the great glory of God. And so all of the craziness of the world goes away. And as that hymn that we just sang said, well, nobody knows my troubles but Jesus. And when we are there, we are restored, not as a pristine statue standing alone, but as a person who is an invitation to others to live and love not only in Christ Jesus, but in the glory of God. What could be more profound? What could be a greater, bigger invitation than that? And of course, the end of the reading says nothing could be as great and big and beautiful as that which we are offered all day long. And here you are, barbarian, Scythian, circumcised, uncircumcised, Greek, Jew, South Carolinian or North Carolinian, and you have come to the altar of the Lord to be renewed again by our Lord Jesus Christ. The invitation has been offered. The good news has been given to you. You are being made new again and transformed. And here we are to say with all the saints and all of our brothers and sisters, glory, glory, hallelujah. I have been made new again in the Lord. Amen.